This is Mike Dell's World, number 99, for October
21st, 2008. Farts are so fragile, they're fashioned from gas. Why must we squeeze just to help them to pass? If farts are so strong, once they break in the air, they're a surefire way for a room to get cleared. But if farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff, they'd bounce right back when they fell from your butt. They'd keep their scent so the smell would be rough. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. Farts are so friendly, they follow your tail. Although we can't see them, they leave quite a trail. Farts aren't colored, they're so hard to find, yet they're so fond of light as they leave your behind. But if farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff, they'd bounce right back when they fell from your butt. They'd keep their scent so the smell would be rough. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. Just imagine the free tiny toys they would be. In my pocket I'd keep them to throw at your feet. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff, they'd bounce right back when they fell from your butt. They'd keep their scent so the smell would be rough. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. They'd bounce right back when they fell from your butt. They'd keep their scent so the smell would be rough. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. If only farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. If farts were made out of Super Bowl stuff. If only farts were made out of Super Bowl.
I don't know if farts being made out of anything other than they are would be a good thing, but yeah, who knows? Anyway, welcome to Mike Dell's world, or my world. Yeah, there we go. Welcome to my world. Well, I don't have a whole lot to say today, but I have a few audio clips, songs, whatever, that I find interesting, and we're going to get this 99th show out of the way so that I can start planning for the 100th show spectacular, which really is nothing. But anyway, just a number. I've got a clip here for those of you that are on antenna television. I don't know how many you would still be on a regular antenna, but this is a reporter who tried to do the converter box thing, and sort of little trials and tribulations of learning how to do that. So let's listen to that, and then when she's done, I'll come back with my little commentary about that.
This is Spectrum Radio. I'm Susan Hassler. On February 17, 2009, analog television broadcasting in the United States will stop. That means people who don't subscribe to cable or satellite television and don't have new TV sets with built-in digital tuners will have to convert their old analog televisions to receive digital signals. The U.S. government is subsidizing this conversion and promised that it would be cheap and easy. Spectrum's Tekla Perry found out that, at least for her, it was anything but easy.
When the U.S. Congress voted in 2006 to stop over-the-air broadcasts of analog television on February 17, 2009, it assured the public that going digital would be cheap and painless. It allocated $1.5 billion to help fund converter boxes for what was supposedly the tiny minority of U.S. households that rely on over-the-air TV, that is, that don't subscribe to cable or satellite television service. I'm living in one of those households. I don't want to spend $60 or more a month for the privilege of struggling even harder to enforce screen time limits for my kids. I watch the news, usually follow one network drama, and indulge in American Idol. I don't want to deal with or pay for 100 channels. I've got two TVs. The newest was a wedding present 19 years ago. I find the need to convert to digital television annoying. It doesn't help that the analog shutdown date is on my birthday, so I'm taking this a little personally. But I'm giving it my best effort. I'm not the only one, because the Commerce Department's multimedia campaign to get the word out about the conversion program has been a success. So far, as of mid-July, more than 20 million coupons have been requested. It's not that people want to go through this hassle, but they're doing it. I ordered my two $40 coupon cards back in January. They arrived in April with an expiration date of July 14th. In June, I went shopping. I started at Walmart.
Excuse me, do you know where I would get the TV converter box?
Right here, it says $49.87. We only have the RCA in right now.
I purchased a $50 RCA converter. I had planned to buy my second converter at Radio Shack, but they were sold out. Attaching the converter to the Mitsubishi television in the family room was simple, even though the setup includes a VCR DVD player. I plugged the antenna cable into one port and ran the included cable from the converter box to the antenna port on the DVD player. The remote is wonderfully simple. The box itself just has an on-off button and channel up and down buttons. It's tiny and unobtrusive. On the downside, to watch analog television, I just had to turn on the TV. To watch digital television, I have to turn on the TV, turn on the VCR, set the VCR to channel 3, and then turn on the converter box. I then scanned for available channels. And here's where the nightmare started. Using the television's built-in analog tuner, I get great reception on all the major networks, a local non-affiliated television station, and a Spanish language channel, all in the VHF band. I also get a fuzzy but watchable picture for 6 UHF channels. Using the converter box, I got great reception on one PBS channel. That actually gave me 4 programs, because the local affiliate is broadcasting multiple standard definition programs instead of one high definition program. I got reasonable reception on 4 Spanish and Chinese language stations. I could tune in 2 networks, ABC and NBC, but the digital picture was broken up and unwatchable, and the audio skipped and stuttered.
It could be a very low Gore 2, so those wind gusts are going to be in excess of 8 to maybe 8 miles per hour.
I went to Radio Shack. Perhaps a different converter box would do better, and I still had one coupon left.
Hey, do you have the TV converters?
I could order them for you because we're sort of running low on stock right now.
With my coupon expiring a few days later, I gave the salesman my coupon and my money for a $60 digital stream converter to be sent directly from the warehouse. He assured me I'd get it in 5 working days. 10 days later, no box in hand, I called to check on my order. It hadn't left the warehouse. In fact, 200,000 converter boxes ordered in recent days hadn't left the warehouse. A store manager suggested I come in, buy one of the digital stream converters they now had in stock at the full price, and return it when the other box arrived. I got it, hooked it up. The connection process was the same as on the RCA box. The on-screen graphics are a little nicer. The remote, a little more complex, maybe too complex for my taste. And I haven't been able to find a program guide that lists all the available channels, not just the one currently displayed. And the digital reception? No better. One reason for the problem, my antenna. Like most people who watch broadcast television, I get my signals through an ancient antenna on my roof, a bent, cobwebbed, aluminum monstrosity optimized for VHF signals, broadcasting at 54 to 216 megahertz. But most of the digital channels come in on the UHF band, 300 to 3000 megahertz. I installed an indoor antenna designed for digital television reception, an RCA flat antenna that lists for $60. It did not improve the situation. I tried the same antenna on the television in my bedroom on the second floor, thinking maybe a higher location would get better reception. Again, no improvement. I convinced my husband to climb up on the roof, take down the VHF antenna, and replace it with a Clearstream 2 UHF antenna that retails for $80. The switch went reasonably smoothly.
Now, I have to take it down, and I'm going to.
Okay.
Because the cable attaches up at the top, you see?
Oh,
you
yeah.
See where the cable attaches?
Oh, yeah, I see, yeah.
So I have to undo it at these lower points and lay it down, and then take that thing off on top and then put it on. It's because I need to drop it off the roof.
There was just a slight glitch when he realized that the cable had to be attached before the antenna was assembled, meaning he had to take it apart and put it back together while balanced on the roof.
I have to take this thing off. I can't screw the cable in. Because it needs to be going straight in. And I can't get the angle.
Meanwhile, I sent the kids hunting through their toys for a compass. UHF antennas need to be pointed somewhat accurately at the transmitters. According to AntennaPoint.com, my antenna needed to have a compass setting of about 320 degrees. And I'm wondering why all the publicity about the converter box coupon program, touting the fact that it'll only cost you 10 or 20 bucks to switch to digital, didn't happen to mention that you'd most likely have to replace your antenna, too. My husband's hour on the roof didn't increase the channels available on the first floor family room television, but it made a huge difference for the second floor television. At least sometimes, depending on the time of day, evening is best, and weather conditions. Now I usually can get the vast majority of the broadcasts I got before, along with the CW and ION networks. My kids are thrilled about CW. And lots of Spanish and Chinese stations. Fox, CBS, and ABC break up a little at night, a lot during the day. None of this, however, explained why digital reception on the television in the family room is so bad. I went to Richard Schneider, president of Antennas Direct, for an answer. He suggested the problem might stem from reflected signals, so-called multipath interference. Richard Schneider.
The Bay Area viewers are a little disproportionately represented on our customer service lines, primarily because of the geography of the Bay Area can be problematic for digital reception due to the condition known as multipath interference, and that is reflected signals. And in the analog world, you would see reflected signals as ghosting. In the digital world, it is essentially duplicate sets of data that are arriving at your digital decoder, digital tuner. And in some generations of set-top boxes or digital tuners, they are not as capable of handling the interference and will drop out parts of that data. When a second set of data arrives, it may just drop out the entire picture, and it may even be so severe that it can't even get a lock at all on the channel whatsoever.
But given that I have better reception upstairs, a more likely culprit is the cable that runs from the antenna to the television. Again, Richard Schneider.
80% of the calls we get reporting problems with their antennas turn out to be between the antenna and the tuner. So primarily many of the issues are with the distribution of the signal rather than receiving the signal at the antenna.
I went outside and looked up at the cable dropping down from the antenna. It enters the house just below the roof line, and then we never see it again until it pops up through holes in the floor. I'm pretty sure it was installed inside the walls during a remodel back in 1980, before I lived in this house. I try to imagine what's going on inside the walls. I picture one splitter, perhaps in the attic, that sends a line into the bedroom, so my bedroom TV is getting half of the original signal on a fairly short line. Then the cable continues down the wall, drops under the house, and splits into 3 to 5 other lines. When we moved into this house, there were television hookups in nearly every room on the first floor. That means the television in the family room is getting perhaps 10 to 15% of the original signal. Schneider told me that such an arrangement was likely just fine for analog VHF television, but perhaps not so for UHF.
Lower frequencies tend to have less loss over a longer cable run. And digital is primarily on UHF, and hence there will be slightly more resistance over long cable runs. You will find you need to be aware of the use of splitters, diplexers, and long lengths of cable as it can attenuate or weaken signal to the point where it'll not be detected, it'll be below the threshold of the digital tuner.
If I can find one of the splitters, Schneider said, I can put a preamp on it for about $60. That might send enough signal down the cable to make the converter happy. Finding one of the splitters, however, isn't going to be easy. I've looked in the attic without success. I tried peeking under the house with a flashlight, but can't sort out the morass of wiring without doing some crawling. I'm thinking about that. Alternatively, I can rewire my house, start a new line from the antenna, find places to bring it into the house. That's not exactly a simple operation. That might work, but it might not. Or I can do what, I guess, anyone who can afford it is going to do. I can spend $60 a month for cable or satellite. But lots of the people the $40 converter coupon program was supposed to help can't afford it. And I'm thinking that people squeezed by gas prices might just eye that antenna on their roof and cancel their cable television subscriptions. For some of them, that switch will go just fine.
Sometimes over-the-air reception is a bit of a black art. We can have an entire neighborhood buy one of our models of antenna and be successful, with the exception of one individual. And for unknown reasons, sometimes we can't make that individual successful. There are sometimes null spots in coverage areas, and it's sometimes not always consistent or predictable. And so sometimes there's a little bit of voodoo as well as science to try to make people successful.
But other people are going to find out, as I did, that the digital television transition is neither cheap nor painless. For Spectrum Radio, I'm Tekla Perry.
Okay, well, my prediction is that they're going to delay the analog to digital conversion sometime between the election and February. The FCC will put an extension on the analog broadcasters. That's just my guess. But, you know, like the gal said, you know, she was having trouble. She's in San Francisco, which is a major metropolitan area, and she was having trouble. So, you know, those of us out here in flyover country are going to have even more trouble. Right here in Traverse City, well, the problem is, Traverse City is down in kind of a valley. The elevation here in town is, I don't know, around 500-600 feet above sea level. And the surrounding area is 1,000 feet above sea level. You know, it's, you know, difference of 400-500 feet. But all the transmitters are either south of town, east of town, or west of town. In our case, the NBC affiliate and the PBS affiliate are west of Traverse City, up on the hill. The Fox and, I think it's just Fox. Not really sure. Fox and ABC, that's it. The Fox and ABC affiliate transmitters are east of town. And the CBS and NBC affiliates are south of town. Well, actually, NBC's main transmitter, the NBC affiliate's main transmitter is south of town. Their digital transmitters is west of town. But anyway, with my little set-top antenna, with the HDTV, with the digital receiver, I get Fox, NBC, and PBS, and that's it. And the problem is, if I put up an antenna outside, which I'm going to do, I've got a ham radio tower, so I might as well put up a TV antenna. But the problem is, I'm going to have to put it on a rotator because, like I said, you know, all the stations are all different directions from here. And on analog, out in my garage, I've got just plain old rabbit ears. And my plain old rabbit ears pick up an independent station. It picks up PBS. It picks up CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox. But if with the digital converter on that same set of rabbit ears, all I pick up is NBC and Fox. So, anyway. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. I'm going to play one more song and get ready for the show number 100 spectacular. No, not really. But sounds good. So anyway, go ahead and listen to this song. I'll be back afterwards and wrap it up.
This here is a combination of Cajun music and rap. We call it crap. I'm gonna dance and have some fun, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna play my accordion, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John.
Went over to my girl and she said, "Man, Shaq, what you gonna do with that ting right there?" I say, "Man, babe, I'm gonna put that in your stuff." She say, "No, you're not, and not long enough." I said, "Well, that's alright, if that what you think, I don't want you anyway, cause your pussy stink."
I'm gonna dance and have some fun, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna play my accordion, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John.
Well, I was fishing down there in Cocodrie, and this prostitute came up to me. She said, "Man, Shaq, what you gonna do? You gonna sit there and fish, or do you want to screw?" Well, she didn't cost too much, so I thought I'd try her, but I caught me some crabs, and they weren't from the buyer.
Gonna dance and have some fun, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna play my accordion, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna dance and have some fun, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna play my accordion, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna dance and have some fun, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. I'm gonna play my accordion, cause I'm rapping like Bokeh John. Cool.
Well, that's kind of what I call regular rap music is crap. They just forgot the C. But anyway, that was kind of fun. A few months back, I filled in on the Louisiana Sound Show on WNMC, where I do the folk show normally. And I come across that song, and I said, "Man, I can't play that on the radio, but eventually I'll play it on my podcast." So that's why you guys got to hear it. Well, I don't have a whole lot more to add today, so we'll cut this one kind of short. I just wanted to get out that information about the digital TV and my prediction. Like I said, I don't think it's actually going to happen. I think they're going to extend it, but yeah, you never know. Either way, I'm covered because I really don't care too much about the TV, so we'll see. Anyway, this podcast is created under a Creative Commons 3.0 attribution license. It just means basically, you can make money from, or you can not make money. You can use it for whatever you want. If you're going to make money, you got to cut me in on it. So, and I guess I'll go ahead and just do the Blueberry announcement myself. This podcast is part of the Blueberry Podcast Community at www.blubrry.com. Blueberry without the E's. So go over and check out some cool podcasts over there. And of course, now it's delivered to you via the Blueberry Podcast plugin for WordPress called PowerPress. Blueberry PowerPress. So, anyway. And unlike the last few Mike Dell's World podcasts and or Benzoid Reports, this one is not brought to you by Cast Blaster. It's recorded in Audacity. and assembled in pieces. So anyway, hopefully it sounds okay and everything works out good. If you got any ideas for what I should do for show 100, which, like I said, it's not really a big deal to me, and if you count all the phone-in ones, it's probably not even close to 100. It's probably more like 125 or 130, but anyway, no big deal. But I do have a good topic. I actually had a good topic set up for this one, but this morning I just didn't feel like getting into that topic, so maybe that'll be the topic for the 100th podcast. Of course, I've done 155 strange todays. I've done somewhere north of 60 or so ham radio pod classes. And we've done 46 What's Up With That podcasts. And I've done one Geek News Central podcast. So I guess 100 on this one doesn't really mean a whole lot. Anyway, we'll catch you guys later. Have fun. And we'll see you at show 100 probably sometime next week. Okay, those of you that sat through the silence there get a special extra bonus track. 99 Words for Boobs from the PodSafe Music Network. Catch you later.
Jugs and orbs and darts and gourds, Elmer Fudds and bouncing Buddhas, sweater stretchers, lung protectors, beach umbrellas, frost detectors, Scooby snacks and snake eyes dice, Jell-O molds and high beam lights. Every day I probably use 99 words for boobs. Humpty Dumplings, Hardy Boys, double lattes, ode to joys, Hooters, Shooters, physics tutors, Bobsy Twins and bald commuters, double WMDs, MREs and PFDs, Snow White Dwarfs, Picasso's Cubes, 99 words for boobs. Gerber servers, holy grails, whoopee cushions, humpback whales, flying saucers, traffic stoppers, super big gulps, double whoppers, pillows, billows, Don DeLillos, soft serve cones and armadillos, pimped out hubcaps, inner tubes, 99 words for boobs. Midget earmuffs, warming globes, strobes and probes and frontal lobes, knockers, honkers, knickerbonkers, smurfs and screaming yellow zonkers, panning cannons, Mr. Biggs, big bad wolves and porky pigs, jogging partners, sailing noobs, 99 words for boobs. Two-point jumpers, Bambi's thumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers, rutabagas, Chi Omegas, swag the showgirls show in Vegas, Congo bongos, bowling pins, fast pitch softballs, Siamese twins, your claims I'm breast-obsessed are true. We're quite a pair, 'cause I'm a boob.